Hallelujah. Great reading in Matthew chapter 11. That great invitation. Amen. The invitation. The invitation of all invitations. Listen to this. You never heard anything like this before this. You never heard anything in the world like this. Amen. Jesus said, come unto me. Can you imagine the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords inviting everybody? Come unto me. The next word is all. Woo, glory to God. He looked far above the sectarianism of his day. He looked far above the exclusiveness of the Jewish thought in his time. Amen. And he said, all. Ye. Ye is Old English for you. Amen. He pointed away above the crowd that he addressed that day. Amen. And he said, you can come.
Yes.
All you. Say it with me. All you. Amen. Don't that sound good?
Yes.
All you. Praise God. Nowadays, you know, they load the airplane from the back of 747, get about 400 people on. So they load it from the back. They start with the big numbers. And then after a while, amen, I got mine in pretty early. So it was fairly up close to the front in the 20s and 30s, sometimes closer. Amen. And finally it said all the rest. That meant me. And so I got on board. Praise God. Hallelujah. All ye that labor. Amen. I want to tell you something, folks. Sin's hard work. Amen. Roy Qualls married to a cousin of ours in Mammoth Spring, Arkansas. Roy Qualls was the Texaco distributor. He owned the Texaco oil distributorship. And Roy Qualls was an alcoholic. And one night he got saved in the Baptist church, First Baptist church. Of course, we went to all the revivals in the country, whether it's Baptist revival or Pentecostal revival. Anybody had a revival, I helped the Baptist build a brush arbor, practice in our backyard. And amen, I got more people saved than anybody in that revival. Going back and getting them saved, that's where I went back. That's Jody Pendarvis. He's the son of my grandpa's a sister. Amen. And she married a Pendarvis. And I asked Jody. He called at all the square dances. Do-si-do and do-si-eight. Circle four and around you go. And cousin Jody, he called at all the square dances. And I went back and asked Jody at the altar. I didn't realize how steep my family was in Church of Christ. I just kind of ignorant, you know. Far as I know, they're all sinners. And that's the truth. They was all sinners. But when it come down to the wire and I invited him to the altar, he said, you can't show me in the Bible where it says you got to pray to get saved. Amen. See, Church of Christ don't believe you pray to get saved. You repent and be baptized. You believe and be baptized, and ye shall receive the gift. Remission of sins. We'll just say sins, they say sins. You can tell all those graduates from Nashville, you know, they all croak the same way. They're all born in the water. Amen. And you can tell them. They sound the same. They've improved a little bit in more recent years. But I invited, in that brush arbor, I invited cousin Jody to come to the altar and said, you can't show me where it says in the Bible you got to pray to get saved. I said, well, I just know an ignorant country boy. Amen. I know Jody all my life. All my born days I know Jody. Aunt Tracy played the guitar and Uncle Bartis played the fiddle and Jody called at the square dances and I knew he wasn't saved. Amen. And I invited him to the altar and I found out that they had some strange beliefs, you know. So I just told him, I said, well, the Bible says whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
Did you know, an innocent young Christian like me, I had the truth of God.
Right.
I had the logic they needed. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yeah.
shall be delivered. Praise God. It says it about four times in the Bible, and it'll work. Amen. But Jesus here, he invites them to come to me. Amen. Roy Qualls got saved in a Baptist. I started to tell that and got off on Cousin Jody. Roy Qualls got saved in a Baptist church, and they passed the offering pan one night at the Baptist church, and Roy put $10 in, and his wife, who's our cousin, she said, "Aren't you stretching it just a little bit?" He said, "Well," he said, "I'd spend $15 in one night when I was in sin. One night for whiskey alone." Amen. Well, praise God. You know, back then a 10 spot was like giving 100 today. Amen. And I mean, it was something to give more than a dollar. $10 was as big as a wagon. Amen. And he gave $10 in the offering. Hallelujah. I think people sometimes when they first get saved are more glad than they are when they've been saved 40 years. Hallelujah. Come unto me, all ye that labor. Amen. It's expensive to live in sin. Roy thought he was getting off cheap. $10 in the offering. He'd spend $15 one night. And heavy laden. Sin is a heavy burden to carry. Amen. Ah, praise God, and Jesus promises us he'll help us to lift that heavy burden. Amen. J. Vern McGee says, "I'll give you rest," is literally, "I will rest you." When he speaks of being heavy laden, he's referring to being burdened with sin. The same figure is used by Isaiah and the psalmist. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They've provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They're gone away backward. For mine iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me. Psalms 38 and 4. Amen. I know what your problem is tonight. I can tell you everybody's problem here tonight. The world's reaching for you. The world's calling to you. Amen. And boy, I'm telling you, they got a good way of advertising it. I mean, someone said sin is advertised by the printed page and glamorized by TV, and they've got a glamorous way of advertising sin today. Amen. In fact, it's so profitable, the sin business is, that boy, they'll spend millions advertising sin. Amen. I felt sorry for the people that lost in the election. You know, I felt like Pinkerton Q. Sassafras, who always waited till after the election to vote. They said, "Why do you wait till after the election?" Because he said, "I want to be on the winning side." Amen. So he just voted after the election. But I felt like, chipping in to help the losers a little bit, you know. You know, John Glenn gets all this publicity. You know, John Glenn this, John Glenn that. But you know, unless he gets a whole lot of help from some source, from using his name, you know, and he probably will get some, he can't eat none of that. And did you know that John Glenn is still up to his neck in debt from the last election? Can't see his way out. Amen. Sometimes a winner needs a little compassion even. Amen. Hey, I want to tell you what. Sin is a heavy load. This world presents a heavy burden, but Jesus said, "I'll give you rest." Boy, what an invitation it is. Praise God. The invitation of the one that's able to come through. Amen. I've heard a lot of half page, read a lot of half page and big flyers, you know, that said, "Come, bring your sick, your blind, and get deliverance." And those that I ventured into, you know, about the only thing they delivered them from was their money. Amen. And they delivered from that, all right. They wouldn't even pray for one person till they got so much in the offering. Whole bunch of them back, you know, when they begin to go bad in deliverance days, you know, they wouldn't pray for nobody till they got so much in the offering. And after they got so much in the offering, they'd pray. Jesus didn't do that. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Praise God. Oh, I want you to see him. It with a faraway look in his eyes, beyond the rejection of his own people, his voice pierces beyond the immediate to the future generations of the world. Jerusalem's getting ready to reject him. He looks above them. He looks out toward the poor, the miserable, and the heavy laden. And he says, "Come unto me." Amen. Come unto me. Even many of them that he was rejecting, or they were rejecting him, he said, "Come. Come ye that labor." Labor. Labor means you're already fatigued. You're already getting white-eyed. Amen. You're just tired to death. And he said, "Come all ye that labor." Hallelujah. Lay heavy laden, I mean burdened down. Praise God. And he said, "I'll give you rest. Take my yoke." There are a lot of takes that he challenges us with in the Bible, and this is one of them. He said, "Take my yoke upon you." Hallelujah. "Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." Praise God. Many times he says, "Come unto me." He says, "Come unto me, all you labor heavy laden." 11:28 of Matthew. But Matthew 19:14, Jesus said, "Suffer little children to come unto me." How about that? Somebody reported on the success of the revival. He said, "Well, we had a few children pray." Jesus didn't look at it with that tongue-in-cheek attitude. Some of the most important people in the world to get saved is the children. Was it D.L. Moody that said he had 2.5 people saved last night? Ah, I know. You got 2 adults and 1 child. No, he said, "You got it backwards. I got 2 children and 1 adult. I just got half of the adult's life. But he said, I got all the children's life." Jesus said, "Bring the children. Let the children pray." I don't know what they're doing. Don't fool yourself. They know more than you think they do. Jesus talks to the children. Jesus lays his hand on the children. Praise God. The children are impressionable and susceptible. Praise God. He said, but when Jesus saw it, he much displeased him. He said to them, "Suffer the little children to come to me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Ah, when you open the door, make the ground level at Calvary, young and old, rich and poor, black and yellow, red and white. Hallelujah, the ground's level at Calvary. Jesus beckons to one and all. "Come unto me." Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you thirsty? Amen. Jesus said in John 7:37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Oh, every soul is thirsty for God. Every soul has a God-shaped void within, a vacuum that needs to be filled. As we walk through the streets of Manila on Sunday, a little less than a month ago. Amen. Brother Jim and I and Brother Berg and the young man that came with him. And I saw that mob of humans. That mob. So thick you couldn't hardly stir. In the biggest mall in Asia, we stood. And they waited on the inside. All the doors locked, all the gates shut, even the escalators had to somebody guarding them or a blockade across them. And nobody but employees. But then they turned them loose. That mob of seething humanity. Hey, amen. I'm telling you, folks, the 18th and 19th of October, it hadn't even come Halloween yet. Hadn't even come All Saints Day yet. They boasted the longest Christmas shopping time of anybody. They was already singing Christmas songs in the mall in Manila of the Philippines. And you know who's going to fill that void in those multitudes' life? Whoever gets there firstest with the mostest. Because people's hungry for God. Way down deep inside, they're hungry for God. Amen. And so everywhere in the world, the Jehovah's Witnesses are making inroads, and the Mormons are making inroads, and Seventh-day Adventists are making inroads, and they'll spend a lot of money and build a fine church and a school and a basketball court because they love basketball. And they're trying to get them. And you know what? They are going to get a bunch of them. Amen. But we need to preach the gospel of Christ in all the world. Amen. In the Caribbean, in Honduras, Nicaragua, and Guatemala, and a lot of the Panama areas, amen, that was destroyed by Hurricane Mitch. It's a void waiting for the right people to fill it, to get their firstest with the mostest. Amen. It may be about 3 years before you can really have a revival out of all this judgment and out of all this darkness that swept that land and out of all this loss. Thousands died. Crops destroyed. No food supply. Nothing to eat. Famine. If it wasn't for the free world shipping rice, corn, food, millions of dollars. Amen. And it's one that gets there first with the most. It's going to get their full share of the... We need to lift up Christ of the population of those lands. We need to lift up Christ to the hungry and the thirsty of the world. He that thirsts, any man thirst, any man, anybody. That means you too. That means me. Hallelujah. My prayer will be welcome. Your prayer will be welcome. Praise God. Ah, glory to God. The psalmist had something to say about this. Come unto me. Psalms 101 and 2. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Could it be the Lord is questioning tonight? When wilt thou come unto me? Praise God. Isaiah 55 and 3. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure mercies of David. Amen. Jesus Christ, the Son of David, invites us all to come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. The disciples knew when everybody left Jesus and he preached that hard message. They even told him, they said, Lord, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Amen. Who can bear it? And everybody left him because of his hard preaching. If they had voted on Jesus that day for the Messiah, he'd have lost the election. Amen. Because he preached too hard. He was too negative. Amen. He said, except you eat my flesh and drank my blood, you have no part with me. That might be strange language to us who are Westerners, but they knew the idiom he was using. Those Easterners knew. They knew that they had to live like him, walk like him, talk like him, enter into a lifestyle like his. Amen. And they said, we can't do it. It's too hard. And they left him. He turned around to his disciples. He said, will you also go away? A pitiful few left. Where are they that ate the loaves and fishes? Where are they that watched him heal the sick and raise the dead and cause the blind to see? We like your ministry, Lord, but we don't like the life that you demand. And a lot of people in church like that today. He turns around to those whom the world is calling for. He says, John, Mary, Susie, Jim, will you also go away? He's calling your name today. I know what your problem is. The world's reaching for you. Hey, young person, I know what your problem is. It's peer pressure, but more than that, it's world pressure. They're reaching for you. Amen. And you're about to spend your last dime and your last day in eternity to have just a little bite of that. And go to hell. I was called to the hospital a while ago. Brother Parker called me. Lady at work with Sister Pauline fell with a heart attack in the room she was cleaning in the Hamiltonian Hotel. They drive down from Middletown every day to work, her and her daughter. They were both working. She was on the upper floor. They got the word to her daughter that they had found her mother. Her daughter went running in the room and saw her laying there, dead. They called Life Squad. They gave her CPR. They shocked her. They thought, well, they told the family that they might have a pulse. They rolled her just across the street to Mercy Hospital. That's all they had to take her, just across the street. Her husband said she's dead before they ever left the hotel. He said there wasn't a thing wrong with her. She's 58 years old. One thing wrong with her since she worked all week every week and dances every Saturday night, but died this afternoon about 3 o'clock without a prayer. Jesus was doing his best to get above the noise, to get above the music, above the din, above the roar, above the voices that was calling to her. Jesus was doing his best to get her to come unto me. Amen. But Miss Pennington is in eternity tonight without a prayer. Amen. I asked her daughter if they went to church. She didn't mince any words. She said no. Amen. Unchurched. Died without God. Amen. Oh, they'll preach her into heaven just like they do every country singer, just like they do every worldly hobnobber, just like they did Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley and all the rest of them. Amen. They're up there in the hillbilly and rockabilly heaven. Amen. But I'm afraid they'll be like the old Texan that died, and when he woke up in eternity, he said, well, said, I didn't know heaven was so much like Texas. And the devil walked up and said, son, this ain't heaven. Amen. He'd wound up in the wrong place. Amen. Eternity's a long time too. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Father, help us to hear the invitation of Jesus. heavy laden, encumbered, Lord, burdened down to the point of collapse with sin and the world and flesh and the devil and guilt and ungodliness and the expense of it all. Oh, help us to see Him who paid it all and realize that all to Him we owe. In Jesus' name, amen.